Well, it might be going a bit too far to say there's a theme of rocks going through the lectionary readings today. If nothing else, I don't want to spend a lot of time with the Stevens story. Not that it isn't a good one, but we just get the end part of it there, so we're not going to do too much there. And instead, we're going to spend a bit more time in our epistle reading, the first letter of St. Peter that he wrote, and where he talks about, well, among other things, living stones, which always has a tremendous amount of connection with me, and a very affectionate one at that. My mother, as I think I've mentioned, was extremely musical, sang and did things all of her life, and had choirs of various ages and descriptions, so I very much enjoyed the children this morning, as I was thinking, that could be my mother up there doing, encouraging them to sing and enjoying their learning truths while singing, because singing is just fun. But my mother put together a group of young people. I think I was the youngest, probably even sort of 12 or 13, up into sort of the end of high school, maybe a year after that, to sing in church. And we sang, this is when the Gaithers were doing their thing, so we were singing music that was considerably more contemporary than what you would ordinarily get in church. This is obviously back in the 70s. And the name of the group was the Living Stones. Which all kinds of people went, oh, if only Angie knew about the Rolling Stones and all that. Well, of course she knew. That's why she picked it. I mean, it comes out of here. It comes out of 1 Peter. I mean, this was the explicit reason. But the fact that she was sort of pulling the nose of the rock and roll world, I think, made it even better for her. And so we sang in churches here and there when I was living in Edmonton, sang all over the place. So whenever I read this passage, the first thing that comes to mind isn't the theological truths of Jesus being the keystone and all that. It takes me back to singing, and singing some very complicated things. My mother always believed that if you didn't tell people something was too hard for them, they'd probably just do it. And so I go back and I look at some of the things that we sang, like I look at it from a later perspective and think, you know, there's a lot of choir directors who wouldn't attempt this with like a college level choir. And my mom just said, well, of course you can do it. And we believed her, so of course we did. But when we look at this passage, there's all kinds of interesting things going on in here, not least of which is this whole idea of living stones, where Peter says, you come to him, the living stones, rejected by people, but chosen by God and precious to God. And you're like living stones being built into a spiritual house. And then goes on to talk about how we become a holy priesthood and all that. I find it interesting that the New International Study version, the study Bible I have in front of me, felt it necessary to point out that God's people are not stones, but are in fact persons. And I just thought, well, I thought that was pretty clear already. I think it's just an image. We all understand that it's just an image. We're not called to suddenly calcify in any way. But what does the image mean to us? And as I was pondering this over the last little while, one of the things that struck me is, once again, the context we're in, modern, early 21st century people, most of us haven't had a lot to do with building things out of stones. And so I think we miss some of the imagery. And as I was thinking about it, I realized that I had for years. Because when I think of things being built out of stone, for better or worse, I think of them being built out of bricks or out of cinder blocks or something like that. And so it's sort of like stone, it's sort of not. But the thing that's interesting about that, when you think about a brick, a good brick is exactly the same size as every other brick you're building with. And cinder blocks are all the same size. But you don't get that when you build out of stones. When you build out of just whatever stones you can find, they're going to be all different sizes. And that really made me start thinking about all kinds of things. First of all, why on earth did I think that all stones would be the same size? I never really lived in a brick house. I never laid bricks or anything else. But I did have homes at one point or another that had those fake field stone things. So why didn't I get it from there? And I realized that I didn't get it from there because, well, most field stone that you see is a slice of field stone. And so it's obviously not. So I never had any real feel for what this would be like. And so I spent the last few days trying to think, what would it be like to build with rocks? Big rocks and little rocks. And it suddenly struck me that that's maybe part of what Peter is getting at. When you build something out of stone, you end up with something that is superficially irregular in the sense that you look at it and the stones are of different size. But what they create is something that is functionally regular, if you will. That if you don't carefully choose your stones and put the big ones where they belong and the smaller ones where they belong and the smallest ones where they belong, the whole thing's going to fall down. It doesn't matter how much mortar or whatever you call it when you're building with stones. It doesn't matter how much of that you put in. If your stones don't fit together properly, your house is going to fall down. So maybe we could add another verse to the wise and the foolish man there, although I think we're taking advantage of Scripture if we do that, so we probably won't. But when we think of it that way, and we look at what Jesus is building with these living stones, he's not building a casual little shack. He's not building even a barn. What he's building is the church. He's building something of supreme importance. So why wouldn't he use dressed stone? Dressed stone is when you take your stones and then you make them whatever size you need, or you knock the pieces off or whatever else. But you don't see, there's no suggestion in here that we use dressed stones. And if you think back to the Old Testament, if you remember the instructions about making altars, they weren't supposed to be made with dressed stones. You're supposed to just find them and pile them together and make them work. And so I pulled all of these things together and I thought, wait a second, that's the church. That's exactly what we're like. And that's where the sermon title comes from. Stones or pebbles? And you think of, in the grand scheme of things, what's more important, a stone or a pebble? And it's a trick question. It's a lot like how long is a piece of string? You know, how long does it need to be? You know, what's more important, a stone or a pebble? Well, a stone as big as my head is quite important if you're beginning to sort of get halfway up your wall, or maybe even at the bottom of the wall that you're making. But if you have a space that needs a stone that's as big as my fist, the big rock is completely useless. Well, it's more than useless, because if you try and take a stone that's too big and jam it into a hole that's too small for it, you're just going to damage things. And I started thinking that this is a picture of the church. It's a picture of us. That the living stones that Jesus is building his church out of is made up of us. And some of us are stones, some of us are boulders, and some of us are pebbles. And if we're not careful, we'll look at ourselves as pebbles, we'll see the small part that we have to play, and we'll say, we're only pebbles. We're not really worth that much. Wait a second, it doesn't work that way. Go look at a wall that's been built out of stones. And look at the different sizes that come together. And without all of those different sizes, you don't have a wall. If you say that pebbles are too small for our wall, we're just not going to use them, you're going to have a wall with holes in it. And I don't know a lot about building and architecture, but I'm pretty sure walls are not supposed to have holes in them. I think that's going to cause you problems. I can imagine several. Pebbles are just as important. And I mean, the imagery and it falls down as all these things do. I mean, you can't apply it everywhere, because one of the things about the church is that in some aspects of the life of the church, we're boulders, and in others, we're pebbles, because we all have different things we're good at. What Peggy did this morning with the children, which seemed reasonably effortless, for me would take 10 years, at which point they wouldn't be children anymore. That doesn't make me particularly awful as a human being. It just means that when it comes to helping children learn things, I'm more of a pebble than a boulder. But there's room for pebbles. They're an absolute requirement when you're fitting together the stones that you have to build the wall that you need. Because you can't just jam everything in there wherever you think it might fit without paying attention to what's actually needed and then trying to find the stone that fits. And the more I thought about that, the more comfort I took from it. And the more I realized that the building that we're part of has space for all of us. It's a little bit tricky because when we think of building stone or building anything out of stone or whatever else it might be, we tend to only think of the finished product. Whereas if we lose sight of the process of building itself, we lose sight perhaps of the fact that it takes a period of time. If you've got a pile of stones to build into a wall, it's impossible for you to take all of them at once and just put them all up at once. It doesn't work that way. You start at some point with whatever sizes you need to, and you fit it together, which means that for a period of time, you're going to have some stones that are in a pile not being used at that particular moment. Does that mean they're useless? Of course not. It means that the time for their use hasn't come yet. I don't want to say the whole church because, well, there's always the potential for getting in trouble when you speak for other people, so I'll speak solely for myself. Frequently, when I'm not being used, my first assumption is that I am then useless. That if what I have to offer is not being used, then obviously I don't really have anything to offer, and I'm just kind of useless. Well, if rocks could think, and then if they could talk, and if, as you were building your wall, the rocks in the pile behind you said, well, I guess we're useless. We have no point at all. Why? We should just disappear. Why don't you just go throw us in the stream or something? If we were so given to have conversations with rocks, we would probably say, no, you're not useless. It's just we're waiting for the time where you will fit. And it's the same in the church. It's the same with us. It's the same in our relationships. It's the same in the larger picture of our lives. We have things to offer all the time, but what we have to offer isn't needed all the time. One of the things I have to offer to the church is the ability to preach. And it's valuable. I'm glad to do it. I enjoy it. I know a number of people find it kind of horrifying, the very thought, which means this is my gifting and not theirs. If this is all I had to offer to the church and felt I had to offer it all the time, can you imagine how incredibly tedious it would be to have me around? That when we're having hot dogs later or whatever we have, I felt the need to preach about hot dogs? Or when we're talking about the weather, to preach about weather? Well, like, that's just crazy. When it comes to the different times in the life of the church and the different things we do, we all bring different gifts, different talents, different things to what we're doing. And so when we talk about stones or pebbles, it's not that we're one or the other always. It's that we are both of them at different times. But we're critical at all those times. Sometimes we have to wait a while for those gifts or those abilities that make us stones, that make us the boulders that are the foundation. Sometimes we have to wait a while for the opportunity to demonstrate that. We have to wait for the church to need that, whatever it is. But the interesting thing is that while we're waiting for that, we can still be the stones or the pebbles or whatever we might need to be of making available to the church those things that we're not so good at, but we're still willing to provide. I have worked with children, and nobody had a nervous breakdown out of it or anything like that. It's just I'm not particularly good at it. But there are times when I've been helpful with children, and that's when I've been a pebble. And I've helped out with the boulders of children's work. And I've enjoyed it. And I've done that while I've been waiting for other things. I didn't. Whenever I was equipped to become somebody who preached, I didn't have a place to do it. So I could have just done nothing, or I could have said, well, what I did try and say at least was, well, I think there are other things that I might be better at, but this needs to be done, and I can do at least a good enough job that I can, to push the analogy, I can be a pebble here. And in the building of the church, this ongoing building, because it's not done the same way that this church building is, it's an ongoing construction project. There are times when we're going to be stones, and there are times when we're going to be pebbles, and there are going to be times when we're not sure that we're going to be used at all. But that's just because our time hasn't come yet. All of us have things to offer to the church and to our communities. Always. Sometimes we have to wait for that to be off, for that opportunity. Sometimes we're doing things we're not that great at. And sometimes we get to do exactly what it seems we were created for. And those are wonderful times, but it doesn't mean the other ones are meaningless. Living stones. We get to be part of God's work on earth. From the time we are children, all of our lives. This morning the children singing, and their enjoyment in just being here and being children and doing what they do, which is not sitting perfectly still, thank goodness. Children at that age that always sit perfectly still, I'm kind of concerned. You know, do they have a vitamin deficiency or something? These obviously do not. This is exactly what I want to see children do. And that's what they should do. And the children this morning ministered to me because of who they are and because of what they did when they sang. Does that mean they're pebbles? I think it means they're stones. We all have these parts to play. We all have these opportunities that we can do and these things we can offer to the church in our skills, our abilities, our gifts, our talents, and just ourselves being who we are. It's easy for us to look at the edifice of the church, to look at the wall of the church and say, oh, look at those boulders. If it wasn't for those, we would have no church. And that's true. But if it wasn't for all those smaller stones, we'd have no church either. If it wasn't for those pebbles that filled in those little cracks, we wouldn't have a church either. So stones or pebbles might be the wrong question to ask, whether we're one or the other. Maybe a better question to ask is, what am I today? Is today a day that I'm a pebble? Or is today a day I'm a stone? Or is today one of the days that I need to just wait to see what I'm going to be used as next? We're all living stones at all of those times. And God will make use of us in the ways that are best for us and best for His church. And all we have to do is be willing. Amen.